Do you struggle trying to reach those corner lashes when applying mascara? L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara catches every lash for corner-to-corner volume.
Your sister has been using this, right?
She loves it, yes. They sent me some, and I gave it to my sister and my nieces. And actually, I looked at, I saw my niece the other day and was like, your eyelashes, is that the new mascara? She's like, yes, look at them. They were like fanned out. I mean, this is a great product.
You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Want to see life in panorama with fully fanned out lashes? Now you can with L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara that creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old profs. I'm Ronnie. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today, I'm with the gorgeous, talented, hot, still making a damn turkey, okay? Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good. The never-ending turkey creation of Ben Mandelker, coming soon to a Substack near you.
I know. I am making my second turkey of the week. Currently, actually, it's not really being made at this moment. The oven is preheating during this recap. I am timing my turkey schedule on our recording schedule. So right now, I'm preheating, and there will be a turkey going, my second turkey of the week going.
Yeah. Well, everybody, this is our last day before break, so we're a little loopy over here, and so glad that you joined us, because you've been asking for it. And here we are to deliver it. Family Karma Update. Now, Family Karma is a show on Bravo we both love, and we do not cover regularly because we love it so much, in a way, because it is the sweetest show, and everybody's like so sweet and innocent on it. And, you know, we prefer more fighting, drink throwing, stuff like that. And also, it's got so much humor built into it that we like when a show, we think it's funny, but the show doesn't necessarily think it's funny. That makes
sense. Or more like the characters don't realize. You know, I've my thing lately is that I really am into delusion and privilege. And I guess you could say these people have privilege because they're wealthy and everything. But I still think that, like, you know, give me a Real Girlfriends in Paris, where you have these girls who just really are, they just think they're like amazing and they're just like worldly. Or give me a Real Housewives with some good, strong delusion. I feel like we play off that the best. This show gives us wonderful characters, like a warm sense of community, funny moments, great cast of older people. It's just like a wonderful, wonderful show. But, like, you know, outside of Lopa, there's not a huge amount for us to be, like, there are not a lot of ways in, you know? It's like, ooh, look. Look, Amrit's mom was unbearably supportive to him just now. Oh, fuck Monica's grandmother being supporting her and being progressive. Right. Fuck her. You know, it's like, yeah, it's kind of hard. And then on top of that, there's all these characters. So it's a difficult recap for us.
But we do love it. You know, we love to watch it for sure. So we're caught up. So we just thought we would do a Family Karma episode to kind of see what you guys are feeling about it. See how each other are feeling about it. Okay.
Now there are things. Yes. Sorry. I got excited.
I was just going to say, go ahead. Yours was better. I was just, you know, droning on and on.
I hyped myself up. That's not to say there aren't things to make fun of. I mean, I think that Vishal has really moved into the Tom Schwartz space, unfortunately. And so, like, I feel really comfortable making fun of Vishal these days. He kind of annoys me. I'm really over his man boy thing. And that's very frustrating for me. So he definitely could be a target of my wrath.
Well, we'll see. Time will tell. But it was huge. So the first couple of episodes were wedding. Okay. It's all wedding, the big Bollywood wedding for Richa and Vishal. And of course, Vishal's a huge fuck up. Okay. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge alcoholic. Got some alcohol issues here, buddy. Okay. It's like fun and games when you're your wedding day. Not as much, especially when you've got your mother in law running around on your ass, like, don't drink, do not drink.
Yes.
Oh, another thing, our accents are horrible. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, listen, we do horrible accents literally for every show that we cover. We do terrible impersonations. We know they're terrible. We mean no offense to any community. Okay. We're trying over here, trying to really get it accurate. We're just making cartoons in our heads, and we know we're terrible. Okay.
And yet at the same time, we're actually trying to be specifically accurate. Like, I am always trying to sound exactly like that person. I'm not trying to say, oh, this is what a South Asian person sounds like. I'm just trying to sound like that person. But what happens is, unfortunately, I will then go all over the map. It's actually a very international show for us because my accent will start sort of quasi sounding like something and then goes up to like Moldova and then winds up at the end. I'm going to be like, and then hello, and then hi, Vishal, this is your grandmother speaking.
Yeah, we know we're a disaster. Okay. We mean no harm. Okay. So anyway, this wedding is going on, you know, fuck this, okay? Because there is so much in this wedding. Like, I don't want to be friends with these people. Normally, I watch a show exhausted. And I'm like, oh my God, kind of reminds me of my big Lebanese family in a lot of ways. I would love to be friends with some of these people. But then I watched this and I was like, no, I don't want to be fucking friends with these people. Who wants to go to a 7-day wedding where every day everything is planned out for you and you have to show up and celebrate these two fuckers? And you know these fuckers don't even send you cookies on Christmas. You know what I mean? Vishal's not the type who's going to be like, oh my God, is it your anniversary? Just sent you some special cheeses. No, he's not going to do that. But I have to go to your fucking everyday 5-day event wedding in a destination. No.
Yeah, it's too much. Like that wedding, it was two episodes. It needed to be only one episode. And the thing, here's the other thing. If we were going to recap the show, those first two episodes would have been a nightmare for us because it was essentially like montage. It was like two episodes of pure montage they would take a break for a second to have a kind of a dumb scene or nice. It was a very nice scene usually, but it paused for a little bit, but then it was like, now we're here, now we're there, now we're dancing here, now there's this ceremony and that ceremony. It was cool to watch. But after two episodes of it, I felt as exhausted as the people probably were at the wedding. I'm sure it was like a very cool wedding to go to, but at the same time, if I'm supposed to have sympathy for Vishal because he's annoyed that Anisha needed to figure out her schedule and she still made her way to this party. She still went down to this wedding.
Yes.
And probably spent a fortune because, you know, and by the way, good luck carry on. That's the thing that makes me most angry. Good luck with your carry on suitcase for this wedding where you have to go to 15 events and have all these different outfits, you know? So I actually...
And not easy outfits either. These are not easy. These are traditional Indian outfits. I mean...
Three pieces,
and it's not like jewels, shiny shit sewn all over them. You know what I mean?
And I'm not opposed to this as a wedding. I'm just saying, like, I think it's actually fantastic, but I'm opposed to them giving Anisha shit that she may need to, like, shave off a day or two from, like, a 5-day wedding. That's what I'm annoyed at.
Yeah, because the whole thing is they're mad because Anisha was saying, well, I don't know if I'm coming. Okay, well, maybe I don't know when I can come. Maybe I can come these days. Maybe I can come those days. She ended up coming for three dates, and they got mad because they didn't know till the last minute what days she was coming. What do you care? You have 9,000 people at your fucking wedding. Like, literally hundreds of people came to your wedding. And you're going to concentrate on this one person? She didn't say fuck you and fuck your wedding and fuck your 90,000 events. I'm not coming. She flew her ass there. If this was something like in your hometown and someone never RSVP'd, okay, I could see how it was rude. But you made everybody fly to freaking Mexico. Okay, she came. She made sure she had her passport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She packed SPF, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She double checked her travel bag, unlike Jacqueline on Potomac. She probably made sure her headphones were charged. That's effort, by the way. And that's something I'm saying this stuff out loud. It's actually what I have to do later today because I'm going to New York tomorrow.
She preheated an oven.
She preheated an oven.
So
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm assuming that at the core of it, Vishal probably just wanted Anisha to be like more present with the planning, whatever, because it's like the big day or whatever. I think that's probably what it comes down to. Not that she wasn't like being forthright about her travel plans. I don't think he's being honest about that necessarily. But at the end of the day, she showed up to a big wedding that's expensive. And I just can't draw up a lot of sympathy for Vishal. And then he gets wasted. So he blacks out on his wedding night, which is bad enough. But also, let's not let Amrit and Nicholas off the hook here, because especially Amrit, as Vishal's best friend, he should have said, "You are not passing out here. I'm getting you. I'm bringing you to Rich's room." Right?
No, 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 no. Yeah, he was being a friend by keeping him away from Richa. Oh my God.
What?
He's that wasted. He's barfing all night, probably pooping out of every hole. Like, poop's probably coming out of his ears. Like, you don't want her to have that as her first night with Vishal.
Yeah, but well, her first night with Vishal was that she went to bed. I think I would rather have my new spouse wasted and throwing up, but with me on my wedding night, and be like, "Oh man, you partied hard, and then I took care of you," or something like that.
Ew,
you
know, no, Richa. Yeah, but right.
She went to sleep alone in her bed on her wedding night.
She probably was happy to do it. She's with Vishal and she's Richa. Okay? Like, she was probably like, "Keep him the fuck away from me or I will murder him."
Well, I mean, but that's going to be her life. That's going to be her life.
Exactly. So why start it like that? Listen, they're going to be a couple who ends up in separate rooms and eventually separate condos. Okay? And eventually divorced. So... why start it off smelling him barfing and pooping everywhere? That's not the way to do it. She knows what she married. You know, it's like if you know you have like a squeaky door, you know, just make sure you sleep in a different room. That's what I say. Get the hell away from him. He's pooping and barfing. Get out of my room.
You know what? I think that Richa would have enjoyed telling people you were barfing. He was barfing all night long. I think that actually Amrit deprived Richa of being able to have this thing.
The specifics to complain about.
Yeah. I mean, she still has something to complain. She had something to complain about no matter what. And I'm not saying that Richa is a big complainer. I'm saying that.
Of course she is. That's why she's with Vishal. Why else would you be with Vishal if your natural state wasn't disdain?
No, disdain. Disdain's different than complaining. Because she's not like a nag. She's not like, "Oh my God." She's just more like, she likes to just basically put him on blast in front of all his friends at all times. And so she definitely was given ammo. That's different than complaining. You don't think so?
No. And I think she's right to complain. You know, listen, I love to complain. If I'm ever with anybody, it will be a very annoying person. So I can say, "Ben, let me tell you what Tom did today. Let me tell you," because that's my hobby. That's my love language, is complaining.
I see. I don't see it as complaining. I guess to me, I see that as like, I don't know what the right word is. Complaining to me is saying like, "Vishal, like, you, I can't, like, why would you do that? Like, you couldn't, like, you, why are you not here right now?" Like, that's to me more, I guess that's maybe more whining than complaining.
That is what I'm saying it is too. And I'm saying she is like that. And that's why she's with Vishal.
I feel like she just likes to, I feel like she likes to publicly humiliate him a little bit more, which feels not like complaining. It feels more like, "Hey guys, look at the stupid thing, that Vishal did. And I married this." Like, that's.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you're trying to avoid the like stereotype of like, "Oh, what a naggy woman," or whatever. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying she enjoys finding fault, and she's married to,
a fault machine.
A cave, you know? Like, what has a lot of faults?
The San Andreas. She almost married a crack. She married in California.
Yeah. She likes finding faults, and she married California. That's what I'm saying.
Yes. No, I mean, you're right. I am trying to avoid that stereotype, but I also don't feel which like she's that stereotype either.
Yeah, I don't think she's that. I don't think it's that stereotype. I think she's either just a way, person who likes to find faults. You know what?
Either way, so I think person. She would have had. Listen, you know what? She got a single tier cake in the sense of faults, in the sense that she gets to complain about. See, now I just said complain, but she gets to complain about that he wasn't there the wedding night. But if Amrit had brought him there, then she would have had, she could have gone through a whole list of all the things that he did. And then she would have had a full three-tier cake of public humiliation.
Well, she still got the rest of the wedding because he really fucked up
and
the whole
their
time.
Life together.
So, yeah. So that was the one big thing, was Anisha not showing up and him getting blackout. What's another thing? So Brian and Monica, their thing is, because, you know, they're like the kids who everybody thinks are going to get together just because they're the same age. And when you're in a family who's like traditional and kind of about marriage and the bloodline, which I get because I'm from that, it is like that. It's like, well, you're the same age, so you guys should get married. That's all you really need to have in common. So they're fighting it while also maybe they have like some chemistry there for that, or maybe they're trying to talk themselves into it, or maybe they're trying, we don't really know, trying to talk themselves
it's
out
the
of
usual.
It. We don't really know, but there is still some chemistry there, because whenever she talks to her boyfriend Rishi, Brian's like, oh yeah, I'm real tight with Rishi. Brian's still winking every other line, like, yeah, I'm still with Rishi, huh? Yeah, you're my bro. So he's got that, but then she's always kind of like looking at Brian whenever he's talking. I don't know, there is still some energy there.
Well, because they're the last two 30 year olds on this cast that act like they're still 14. So
I mean, they've only got a few more months before they're put out to pasture. I mean, I feel like I don't feel like you make it to 31 unmarried. I feel like somebody comes by with one of those staple guns that are shotguns that they use on cows before they turn them into ground beef. And they're like, oh my God, is that the Eiffel Tower? And you're like, no, we're in Mexico. And then they just shock you in the brain and you fall to the ground. And next thing you're on a Juicy Lucy burger, you know?
It's like the thing that what's his face Javier Bardem uses in No Country for Old Men. Isn't that like a cattle killer, you know?
Yeah, the cattle
that's what
killer,
I would like.
Yeah.
I want Javier Bardem from No Country for Old Men to walk up to these two and be like, sure, you can flip a coin.
Old single and you people can have no place. Just drop them.
Just a serial killer come in with crazy hair comes and attacks them.
The new cast member, what's her name? Avni?
I think it's Avni.
So that's why she looks so terrified, you know, because she's Indian Lindsay, basically. She's like, hi. She looks like terrified. And they're like, hey, Brian, this is Avni. And he's like, hey, babe, you and me, right? She's like, but like, do you know how old I am? I'm literally like, I'm almost dead right now. Like, I'm up 36 or whatever she is. And he's like, that's not too old for me, baby. But she looks like she's looking around like they're coming for her with that fucking stun gun.
How many sandwiches have you made me? So then he tried to kiss her on the dance floor and she was like, no. So then they're like, you got swerved. And or some of them are like, you got curved. I don't know what the right slang is, but they
I thought it was
that.
Curbed.
Curbed?
I thought that's what they were saying, but I don't know. But also it's not like she wouldn't make out with some young, hot-ish guy, but it's all the aunties around. And you
I
know,
think that's what it is.
Anybody can be cool with it, but you've got his mother who's standing right there like, I don't like this girl. Mm-mm.
Yeah, Dharma doesn't like her.
Yeah, she's like, she's old.
Yeah. The other thing, by the way, so... is that Rishi has shown some hesitancy. He mentioned last week, he was like, whoa, Monica really wants to get married, but like, I'm only 28. So red flag. And then the other thing is, speaking of marriages,
like, I'm not even 30 yet. I'm like, really? So you're going to wait right until they put you down? Damn it. Get married. No, do it early.
And then one of the issues, going back to Anisha, is that one of the reasons why she has this falling out with Vishal is that she started dating a guy in Scottsdale and she's moved to Scottsdale. And you know this because every scene, I literally just moved to Scottsdale 5 days ago. Like, I literally just moved to Scottsdale. Like, and no matter what you say to her, it's like, hey, Anisha, could you pick me up some Starbucks? I can't because I literally just moved to Starbucks.
Like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Put it on a plane? Like, I can't do that. I'm in Scottsdale now.
So I like live in Scottsdale. They have Starbucks in Scottsdale, but like I can't just like send it to you. I'll be there. I'm like there a week, but like I'm like mom, I can't send you Starbucks. And she calls me up. She literally thinks I own Starbucks.
Yeah. So she has gone through. We'll get back to Rishi in a second because
he's well, that'll be mainly part of the recap. You know, that's why I kind of.
But Anisha, yeah, you know, season one Nish was like. I don't know, like, I'm home, I have my fashion company, like, ugh, I hate everything, I hate everyone, I don't even care, I don't want to be in a couple, because, like, whatever, and I kind of like that, like, her hair was always messy, she was in, I think, jogging pants the whole time, they didn't know if the show was going to get picked up or whatever, and she's like, whatever. Then the second season, she got that second season glow up, where she's like, I straighten my hair now, and, like, I buy clothes that fit. Take that, you know, and then she started like doing the online dating and stuff. So she changed a little there. And I was kind of okay with that too. Cause in my opinion, that's like the star of the show, right? I mean, she's definitely, she's like she the is. Bethany Frankel of that show, I think.
She is the best part of the show, I think.
And then the third year, she made the biggest mistake to me. Like, I'm mad at her. Not for Vishal, but for my... Not mad, but she's just one of those people. We all have that friend who's like, I don't need to be in a couple, whatever. And the second they're in a couple, they're like, I cook every day now, whatever he likes. Like, I've learned his best foods. And you know what? I don't know if he... I would like to spend time with you guys, but I don't know if he does. So let me see what he wants. And they turn into that total... couple person right in front of your face, and you're like, why did I waste so many fucking years on you if this is what you were going to turn into? Well, like, I wasted all my years on the single version of you thinking that was the real you, when that's not the real you at all. The real you is this codependent fucking asshole who's too good for everything and everybody at all times. And I don't want to hear about your trauma of, oh my god, well, I was with somebody and then I wasn't with somebody and now I'm traumatized. That's called life and dating. Okay, you don't get to use that as your trauma to be an asshole to me in the future, and now I'm mad at you. So there.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
Well, I'm getting to that age now, Ronnie, where I see myself on camera and I can see the back of my head. The hair is thinning out. And honestly, I mean, I have to imagine that the past few years, the stress in our world, in our lives, has impacted it.
I mean, your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your job, your deodorant, your hormones. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with your hair. And that's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day. See results in 3 to 6 months.
Address your root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CRAPPINS.
Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CRAPPINS.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
It's commercial.
Well, you know what? My view of it is, this is going to sound tough, but Anisha has pulled a Stassi, a season 3 Stassi, because... Stassi Schroeder, I mean...
She was, yep.
Season one, season two, Stassi Schroeder was like the star of Vanderpump Rules. She was the chief villain. Season 3, she left to go off with that douchebag, Patrick, who was awful. Oh,
the worst. Awful. She sold and she did a sex tape of her, or like took a sex tape and blackmailed her with it.
That's right. And it's the same thing. And we see this happen on reality shows or just in life many times where people suddenly just drop everything for, I think they think for like a relationship that's going to fix everything. And they become so determined that this is going to fix everything. They make all the concessions for that person because they don't want it to go away. But what they do is they lose themselves in it. And unfortunately, Anisha is kind of doing the same thing in that it's like season three. It seems like she has left, flown the coop. Although not really. She's still been on the show and everything. But I'm just saying, Anisha, don't do this. Don't do this. You're our star.
Well, no, because kind of the complaint from all of the friends about her is that she just kind of cuts everybody off. You know, it's like she got too big for her britches, basically, is what they're all hinting at. And I can see that, especially like at first with the fame stuff, but then with the like, oh, I have a boyfriend and now none of you get to meet him or none of you get to have a say. You have a say in literally everybody's relationship on this show. Mm-hmm. Everything everybody ever does on this show, there's fucking Anisha to say something snarky about it, which, by the way, is why I love her. Okay. Like, I get it. I get it. I sympathize. I am that with her. But when it's your turn, you need to let your friends judge the fuck out of your boyfriend too. Like, you don't just get off scot-free. Bring him around. And what if he doesn't like being in public and he just doesn't like it, he's a private person, then he wouldn't be dating you. That's a bunch of bullshit. He's dating a reality television star. So fuck that guy.
And why is this? Why have we seen this? I feel like the three examples that I've seen the most of, there's a fourth one that doesn't really fit my theory, but I'll just start with the three and then
it's okay. We can mold it.
Okay. Let's like workshop this theory. Okay. So we talked about Stassi. We see this with Cameron Eubanks on Southern Charm. She you know, she has her husband who barely even showed himself. In all three cases, Anisha, Stassi, Cameron Eubanks, they're kind of like the star females of their cast. And in the case of Anisha and in the case of Cameron, they're sort of like our narrators, our guide, our ways in. And yet they are drawn to these guys that pull them away from that. And I was going to say the fourth example that I could think of off the top of my head, which is not a great one. We saw that. Oh, here's one. Sorry, before I get to that fourth example, here's 3A. Paige, when she was dating Perry, Paige was sort of one of these sort of sharp, funny women who then recedes from the show for this guy. We see it happen there. The other one that I was going to bring up, which breaks my theory, Asa from Shaza Sunset with Jermaine Jackson Jr. or whatever. So she also receded away, but she's not like the funny way into the show. But let's forget about Asa. What is it? Why is there this? Why does it seem like there's a correlation between these sort of strident women?
Because I think part of what makes them so funny on the shows is that they come in with this attitude like, this is all stupid. I can't believe I'm even doing a reality show. And I can't believe I'm doing it with these idiots. And that's what makes them funny, because they don't take it seriously and they just make fun of everybody. And that's why they're fun, you know? Because I feel like on these shows, if there's not one person who really understands that it's stupid, it doesn't work. It always has to have one person who's like, what am I even doing here? This is the dumbest thing ever. I should have a real job. Like, and so I think they're all those kinds of people. And so they're with somebody who naturally also thinks it's stupid. And even if part of them is like, no, like, I'm really becoming a star now, and this is actually kind of my thing, they're attracted to the person who's like, no, that's stupid and I don't respect it, even though I respect that you're doing it. And I'll be kind enough to still be with you, even though you're doing this stupid thing, you know? And then they feel like to keep that person, they also have to truly think it's stupid. And then they start thinking it's too stupid and they're above it. It's like, no, you're not above it. You're the center of it. Do you understand? Yeah.
Well, I don't like this trend. So if you're a strident woman on Bravo and you meet a guy, make sure he comes to you. You don't go to them.
But they just don't, do they? I mean, are there guys like that? I mean, I just don't know.
There are guys like that.
Life is not a Hallmark movie. I'll tell you that much. Because I am a troubled girl who goes to a town to ruin the town so I can make more money. Nobody sweeps me off my feet and makes snow angels. Like, where's mine? Okay.
Listen, at least you're not a Great American Country movie. I'll say that. So, sorry, Candace Cameron Bure.
Just so take anyway, off the re-movie and I'm there, but the rest of it, yeah, the whole thing together, no. Okay, so Anisha, so what else is going on? I'm really mad about Anisha's relationship. Bali is still working it, you know, she's still there. Who's like, oh my God, the reason I really wanted to do this wedding is because, like, I love clothes and I love getting dressed. And she's my daughter. She's, like, so hot now. So, like, hey, babe, like, your body's Nishka. So hot. You know, I used to be hot too, Nishki. So, like, let's
Anishka, talk about my outfits. Wake up, Anishka. Wake up, Anishka. Yeah. Nishka, wake up, Nishka.
She's like Nishka. So hot, I can't even.
She's like so hot. She's like asleep. Nishki, you gonna wake up, Nishki? That's her season so far. I say let's get into the latest episode, because I think all the other things are gonna sort of like filter in through this recap or whatever. So the episode actually opens up. It says one day after the wedding, and we're back in Miami, and Vishal and Richa are in their kitchen. Lies. This is a lie, production. Why are you lying to us? You know there was like 5 brunches afterwards. This is not a family that packs up and leaves the day after the big wedding day. There was a bagel brunch at the very least, okay? This is a week after.
Yeah, like how did they fly home? How did they get all this done after a crazy night like this? Yeah. And also stop lying to us about really everything, because part of the fun of this show is that it was so honest, but with not knowing, like, are we going to get picked up? Are we, like, is this even a thing? Like, they probably don't know, you know? And so they get a new condo, like, Amrit gets a new condo for the show. Like, this fam, then they're not living there anymore. These two get a place for the show, but then they don't know if the show's going on, so they're not living there anymore, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what we're seeing what happens when people find out they've been picked up a day before the pickup started, you know? Like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because by the way, I think that this kitchen is a definite downgrade from the kitchen that they had in their apartment. It was like all brown and like late 90s, early 2000s. So they're like, so Vishal and Rich are having like morning banter, you know, like talking about walking the dog and stuff. And Vishal's like, I'll make you a breakfast. I'll cut avocado, but you have to tell me which one of these avocados is ripe, which again drives me nuts. Like, just hold them. Feel them. Like, that's it. But instead he throws the avocados at Richa, and she just stands there and lets them bounce off her chest.
Yeah, it's like, you throw things at me, I'm not catching that shit. It's falling to the ground. And you don't do that to avocados. Avocados are very gentle creatures.
Yeah. Okay? It's the worst thing you could have done to the avocado to test its ripeness. The very worst thing.
So he's doing his favorite thing where he's pretending that he's doing a huge service by making the easiest meal of the day. He's like, oh, let me do this for you, baby. It's like, wow, you're going to make an egg. Wow. And then she's doing her favorite thing, which is just calling him an idiot. She's basically like, so you missed your whole wedding. Good for you. You don't remember your wedding? Idiot. Good job. And they're like, love you. Love you.
Yeah, she's like, did you do anything on your wedding? Did you do anything right on your wedding night? And he's like, can we not start the morning like this? And she's like, it has to be dealt with. Okay, it has to be dealt with. He goes, I know I fucked up. And she's like, well, you're never getting your wedding night back again, ever. You spent it with Amrit. So
he'll have another one. So then we go to Amrit and Nicholas's apartment, and they're also, like we said, in a new apartment. And this one is also a huge downgrade, but there's more space, because that other one was like a trendy downtown Miami, like, wow, where they had to do Zoom calls in the same room as each other. And you've got Amrit making lawyerly calls, and then you've got Nicholas talking in 10 languages as a teacher or whatever. And those were never going to mesh.
There was a reason why Amrit probably did not make partner until he got into a new house, because what's his face? His boss is probably like, I'm trying to tell you your partner, but I can't focus. There's too many languages happening in the background of this call.
So we find out that Nicholas has quit his job as a teacher. And he puts it as, well, the next 2 months, I'm not going to be working as a teacher because I'm tasked with all things domestic, so I can prove to myself, but mostly Amrit's mother, that I can be a good wife. So that's what I'm doing. But Amrit phrases it as, well, he just quit his career. He's not doing that anymore. Now he's going to be at home, and I'm going to be the man who brings home the bacon.
Yeah, now Nicholas is at home fixating over the the china set that he has, because he's like very he's like looking at these plates that have like a very kind of Midwestern pattern on them of like, I don't know, was like carrots or like cornucopias or just like little flowers or something. And he's like, this pattern is not attractive. I just don't know why I'm so attached to it. I'm gonna this is my life now, staring at these plates.
So the parents are coming over, Lavinia and what's the dad's name? I have it written here somewhere.
I don't remember what his name is. Was it Suresh?
Yes, yes. So they're coming over and Amrit's like, okay, just remember, she's going to give her opinion because that's what Indian parents do. Okay, it's no offense to you. He's like, got it. You know what? I really hope she hates this pattern, but asked me to keep it anyway.
And then we see Lavinia. They're walking. They're approaching like their apartment or their condo. And she's like, oh, they need to clean up the garbage here. Yeah, they need to clean up the garbage. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say this may be an overstatement and generalization. I think that Indian culture may share a lot with Jewish culture, based on the fact that Lavinia says the exact same things my mom would say walking up to a building. They need to clean up the garbage here. Yeah, they just need to clean that up here. Yeah.
My mom is more subtle. She says things like this. Wow, well, this is definitely your taste. What the fuck does that mean? You know? Oh, there's trash in the front yard. Well, I bet you like that. So that's good. Good for you. Good for you.
Well, my mom would actually say they need to clean up the garbage. And then for the next 5 days at random times, we'll be talking about something. And she'll go, but you know, the garbage in the front, you have to clean that up. You have to clean that up. Just out of nowhere. Like, did you hear what's happening with Twitter? Well, you have to clean up your garbage, though.
She's so sweet. She's like, oh, I like the trees. That will give them lots of oxygen. Wow. She's even like, doesn't it sound like she's negging the trees too? Because she's like, wow, trees, that'll give them oxygen and bird shit everywhere. But, you know, she forms everything in such a positive way.
They'll need the oxygen to counteract all the garbage smells. Yes.
So they come over, everything's in boxes. And she's like, oh my God, I love this. Let me see the upstairs. Oh, Nicholas, the upstairs. You did a great job. He threw a throw on the bed. It's a barely made bed, but she's so nice. She's like, Nicholas, is this you who did this? It is wonderful. Two pillows on the bed, Nicholas.
You've done a great job. And she gives him like Ganesh, and she's like, this is Ganesh. Everything is symbolic. And Amrit reads the bottom of it, and he's like, made in China. And his dad goes, well, all the gods are made in China.
So they start talking about the next wedding, the gay wedding. I'm so glad we get to talk about another wedding. Really doesn't trigger me at all. So they start talking about that and the guest list. And, you know, he's acting like, oh, this is going to be so much less than the other wedding. And it's not really, because he's saying things like, well, round one of invites have RSVP'd. Oh, fuck. What's this, an audition? You have rounds of invites people do that you're waiting to send out?
People do that. They have their A list and their B list. And
well, if anyone out there is inviting me to your goddamn wedding, and if I'm on anything other than the A list, don't invite me, because I'm not going to go to fucking
seat filler weddings.
Yes, I'm not that. How dare you? And I get a plus one even though I'm single, okay? I don't care if I'm taking both of those seats up by my goddamn self and eating two plates of buffet food. Don't you dare make me ask you to bring... I can't with weddings. I can't. Okay, but it's a gay one now, so I guess we like it more.
Either way. No, I'm with you. I mean, there was a time when I would get really offended if I didn't get invited to a wedding, and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm on the B list. Now I'm like, please put me on the D list. That way, don't invite me.
Just don't invite me. I'm fucking on a list, like a third round. What the fuck?
Meanwhile, I'm going to a wedding in 2 weeks. So
were you in round A? Did you know anybody who got an invitation before you?
You know, I don't know if I was in round A or not. I decided I wasn't going to question it, but I'm excited. I'm going to Minneapolis in December. I'm like oddly very excited to see Minneapolis around Christmas time. I have this I have this strange like stereotype of Minnesota that like at Christmas time, everything is like super Swedish and cutesy and like, oh, welcome to Minnesota. Look at this. I just feel like there'll be Christmas decorations in the airport. Everything will be like twinkling lights. I know, yeah. I may be wrong, but I'm really excited for this experience.
I think you're going to be correct. It seems like a Christmassy place.
I feel like it's just going to be all Luke. It's going to be people like Luke. It's just skating. It's going to be like a Hallmark movie. So I'm really excited for it, even though I'm Jewish.
So let's see. So they start talking about the wedding and who they're inviting. And
they talk about Nani.
Yeah, I'm going to have a Bloody Mary bar. So I thought that would be fun. And his mom's like, oh, Nani would love that. And Suresh says, I thought she loved gin and tonic. She's like, that too. She loved that too. Just bars. Really, really. Just bars. She loved that.
She loved getting wasted. Oh, God. Beer bongs. Oh, God. We had to hide every funnel we had in the house. So they give like a little memorial, like, you know, they talk about Nani and, you know, she passed away not long after Amrit had his famous conversation with her. So they give like they put her up on screen and do like a RIP, which is very nice. And then they talk about they're going to be going to Atlanta to look at the venue for this wedding. I don't know why they're doing it in Atlanta, but they're doing it in Atlanta. So clearly there's going to be a little cash trip coming up. And then this segues into Nicholas talking about his parents who are evangelical and whether or not they're going to be looking at the venue as well. And chances are they won't be because they're probably not going to show up until the actual wedding. And Nicholas is basically in a position where he's just happy that his parents are coming to the wedding, even though they clearly don't accept that he's gay or that he's getting married to another man. At least they're putting in some amount of presence during this experience.
Yeah, because he says that in the evangelical life, normally this is the point where they would say, you're rejected, you're done. But at least you're going to come to my wedding and, you know, fuck them. Also, I'd like to point out, who are you to judge? You're probably the lady that gave him those fugly plates. And you're going to sit here and judge somebody else?
I know.
How dare you?
Yeah.
So then
they need to get with it.
So then we go to Kalpna and Chitra having a part, like a little get together. And they're talking about how cold it is and blah, blah. So are they with Kalpna now? Yeah. So they're with
Kalpna. Yeah. So now it's Dharma and Chitra are at Kalpna's house. So Kalpna is Kalpna Patel. We were talking about this show on Take a Seat, and we were wondering, like, what happened to Sean and Dylan? You know, like they weren't anywhere at the wedding. We thought, like, are they not on the show anymore? But apparently the Patels are still part of the show. And so now the Patels didn't actually go to the wedding. And so the women are there talking about the wedding. And she's just like, oh, I don't have FOMO. I never get FOMO. Never whatsoever. I don't even have FOMO about my daughter being in Scottsdale. Yeah, I just came in. I moved to Scottsdale five days ago. All right. You know what, Anisha, you don't need to FaceTime me right now to tell me that.
And Gautna's like, well, how was Cancun? It looked like a Bollywood movie. Dharma's like, I was sweating balls on the beach. Sweating fucking motherfucking C-word balls. That's what.
It was so fucking hot on that fucking beach. And then this slut's hitting on my son. Stupid old age slut. She might as well be an auntie at this point. Fucking beach. I was sweating out of my vagina the entire time. It was a lovely time. Lovely wedding.
Yeah, so we find out that Kalpna was invited, but Sean and Dylan were not. And they're like, really? And the producer keeps asking her, but she's not going to, like, sit there and gossip. But then we see clips to show us why. And it's like, you threatened violence against my brother, Vishal, and now you're pushing me. Now you are physically pushing me. Vishal's like, whatever, I'll fucking knock your teeth out on the ground. Oh, yeah, that was whatever Vishal's tough-ass season.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So basically, since Sean didn't invite them, then Vishal didn't invite Sean. So there's that. I don't think no one seems to really care that much, to be honest. Kalpna seems relatively like unbothered. And she had another wedding to go to anyway, so it's fine. So they start talking about Anisha, and Chitra's saying like, oh, you know what? I don't plan anymore. I plan 10 to 15 years, and now I've stopped. I've stopped planning, you know? Like, Anisha has a boyfriend. I'm not going to hold my breath. You know, she ruins everything. You know, she says, take a pill, chill, all that. And they're like, it's chill pill.
Whatever it's called, chill the pill and all. chill pill. Oh, keep quiet, Captain. So they're like, yeah, you know, we shouldn't have expectations of our kids. You know, we just need to be chill, which really, because all of your children are running around terrified.
Or stuck in some strange adolescence.
Cow paralyzed. Yeah, they're all fucking terrified. So you can keep it with your chill bullshit because no one is buying that, ladies.
Yeah, pretty much. And then she's just basically like, no, I don't really miss my daughter. Like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine with, you know, her being out of the house.
Yeah, she said, they said, was it really sad when your kids move out? And she's like, I mean, I miss her, but can I be honest? I moved out when I was 20 and 21, and no one thought that, no one asked my parents how they are feeling. Like, what's the big, like, children do become adults, okay?
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For a Crappens commercial.
So then we go to Ronnie's house. I was so excited. Ronnie, did you see that? It was the Karam household.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was the Karam household, spelled exactly like your last name.
Oh, what the heck?
I was like, where's Ronnie? Where's his mom? Where's his sister? Where are his nieces? But it's so Rishi.
And, you know, it's not my house because there's workout equipment where they're working out. Brian and Rishi are working out. And Brian's doing that whole, yeah, he's like my little brother. Yeah, we're just two bros working out. So, of course, this turns into them talking about marriage, because does anybody have a scene on this show that's not about marriage? They sure don't. When are you going to get married? Are you married? How long have you been married? Oh, my God. Are you going to get married? What if you don't get married? What is going to happen?
So Brian's like, yeah. So they talk about like that Brian's, the producer asks, says like, oh, so you and Monica are both 30, and he's like, oh, we don't say that number out loud. I mean, Monica and I think both of us are like in denial about getting older. I'm like, you think? You can still act like you're exchanging notes in high school. And he's like, I also heard that like 30 is the new 20, so I think I'm getting younger personally. Anyway, let me go hop on this horse that we totally did not put out here in the garage next to the exercise equipment to have a wacky scene. I'm totally going to spontaneously do this and not play this up whatsoever.
So then they start talking about, oh, yeah, you know, timelines with marriage, that's all bullshit, right, bro? It's bullshit. And Rish is like, yeah, you know, but it's all I hear from Monica. It's all I hear about from Monica, you know, and they really don't teach guys how bad girls have it, which I think is true, you know, like that pressure. And also at the wedding, Monica had this scene with Rishi where she's like, oh my God, so like now that we're here at this wedding and we see it, like, doesn't that make you want to do it? Like, aren't you excited? And he's like, no.
No.
He's like, yeah, but you know, we're gonna get married, right? We're gonna get married. I mean, what are we gonna do? Get married? What's the alternative? Not getting married? And he's like, yeah, I'm not really in a rush, babe. That's not him, Monica. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you run. Need, no, yeah, run.
Run.
And he's like, yeah, I mean, nowadays, guys are getting married in their mid-30s, and I'm not even in my 30s yet. I mean, I'm barely even 17. Sorry, you're 28. What? That's crazy. So he says the two-year age gap is causing a huge strain, which it's like, it's 2 years.
I love that they shame Monica for being old. I mean, what the hell? This show cracks me up. Like, yeah, Monica, older woman Monica. Jeez. It's real rough being so old like Monica. She's 2 years older than you, sir. So he talks about the pressure being so hard. And, you know, he's like, but it is inconvenient dating, you know, living separate. That's pretty inconvenient. So we should move in together. Excuse me, sir. It's inconvenient because you don't have access to assets. Okay.
Yeah.
Put a ring on it. Okay. Now, I'm not a big, like, put a ring on it kind of a person, but you're dating someone that you know that's all she cares about. And by acting like this, you're clear. Fair enough. You are being clear with her. It's not like he's leading her on. But at the same time, if you're not going to ring it, go away.
You need to show some commitment, sir. If you're going to be taking Monica away from share karaoke night with her dad, you need to make sure it's worth it, okay?
You can't be a bus and stop with all the seats taken, you know? Like, if you want people to board, you need to get off the bus so someone else can board the bus, okay?
That being said, I'm totally in favor of people moving in together before they get married. But you can't act like you're not sure about marriage, but then at the same time, like, make someone move in. But I'm at the same time,
he knows that that's all she wants is to get married. So if you don't want that, you know, stop.
Yeah. But she is in a good situation because it's not like she'd be giving up her own apartment to move in with him. She just would be moving out of her bedroom and then probably just move back into the bedroom if it didn't work out. So it's a low, she doesn't have a lot to lose in this situation, but I think in the context of this, yes, like, sir, she wants to get married. If you can't give it to her, then it's time to find another lady.
Yep. So then we go to Vishal and Amrit, and they're having dinner, and Amrit's talking about, the first line is, hey man, where's your ring? And Vishal's like, oh, yeah, I'm not wearing it because it was, like, too tight. So I just, you're already not wearing your wedding ring. I mean, you are the biggest fucking stereotype. I can't.
I know. And he's like, yeah, my fingers expanded because of heat and drinking. Oh, we didn't really talk about this, but at the beginning of the very first scene, the Vishal's punishment from Richa is that he's not allowed to drink for, like, 2+ weeks. So he's not, you know, now he's, like, detoxing, etc. So then Brian joins up. So it's like a night with all the bros. And Amrit and Vishal are like, God, Brian's so good looking. Like, why is he so bad with girls, you know? So Vishal's like, oh, well, he's got college level game, which is probably true. I think that's probably what it is. I think you can only go up to a girl at a bar so many times and say, hey, you want to play some beer pong after this? Before, like, you have to, like, level up your game a little bit.
Well, and also, just to add to your Vishal is the new Tom Schwartz, they didn't get married. They technically are still not married.
That's what
they
find out.
The paperwork. Oh my God, you two.
He's like, oh, I didn't realize.
Tom and Katie, not a good model to follow, people.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, yeah, well, I didn't realize. I didn't know we were supposed to do that before we got married. Bad sign. Bad sign.
So now they're talking about Amrit's wedding. Because it's another scene on the show, has to be about a wedding. So they're talking about marriage. Have you guys RSVP'd your first round, bros? You are first round. They're going to have a joint bachelor party, and they're going to have gay strippers, of course. And then they start talking about Vishal's bachelorette party, and they're like, no, no, strippers. Oh, no, there was no strippers involved.
Yeah, they're like, wow, we partied so hard in New Orleans. Oh, my God. So then Amrit's asking why Anisha showed up late to the wedding. And Brian's basically standing up for her. He says that he thinks that Anisha is, like, really misunderstood. And then
Vishal goes,
like,
do you?
And so he's like, Vishal's like, you know, I want the best for Anisha and, like, get the dick. Be happy. But you're supposed to be my best friend and you're not treating me like a best friend right now. I'm like, she probably spent $2,000 on your wedding, right? Like, last month.
Yeah,
last
you treated week. Her like shit at your wedding, so fuck you. You lose the best friend.
Yeah.
War. So, Amrit's like, well, listen, she did RSVP, so I'm asking for flight reservations and hotel reservations a month before, and I'm going to see if she does to me what she did to you. Shut up! Just see if she shows up at your wedding. You people are so weird. I've never had arguments about, like, Travala with anybody. You know what I mean? Like, get off my orbits.
Right. So meanwhile, Anisha arrives in from Scottsdale because I just moved there 5 days ago. And Chitra's picked her up and she's like, I feel like I haven't seen you, even though it's like been forever. I feel like it's been like forever, even though it's only been like a week and a half, which is exactly twice as long as 5 days, which is how long ago I moved to Scottsdale.
Yeah. So she says she's got a lot of business on the East Coast, so she's going to keep coming to stay with her parents. You're coming to film the show. Okay.
We get it.
Yeah. So she's like, do you miss me? She's like, not really. And she goes, so are you cooking now, Anisha? And she's like, oh, yes. Now I cook all the time. You know, he needs Gujarati dishes because that's, you know, he's Guju. So I'm doing that like all the time. And it's wonderful. Every day, breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's great. We love it. She's like, does it taste like shit? She's like, no, he likes it. He really likes it. Oh, well, now your favorite food is pizza, so why aren't you making him pizza? She's like, Mom, that's his favorite food. It's not my favorite food unless it's gluten-free. Mom, what are you trying to do to me? I just moved to Scottsdale.
She's like, it's going to be your new favorite food because if you like someone, you're going to take on their food. She goes, no, I just took a photo with it. I'm not eating it. It's like a gluten-free pizza. I'll eat it. I'm not eating it. For crying out loud, Mom, I only moved to Scottsdale 5 days ago. I haven't just suddenly become a pizza person that quickly.
The mom, who's not going to miss her at all, of course, takes one look at an Instagram. She's like, oh, well, I guess she loves pizza now. That's interesting. So what about pizza?
I guess you'll just leave our culture behind. Fine, enjoy that pizza.
She's just like stockpiling Instagram photos to use against her daughter. I love it.
So, she's talking about the wedding. She's telling her mom about the wedding and everything. And she's talking about how Vishal is mad at her for no reason. And she's like, you know, we've always had our ups and our downs and we always get past it. And like, we've known each other for so long and we're like family. And he needs to understand there are like other things that are a priority for me right now. This is me season. I'm putting myself first. Should I just say it? Okay. What's 10 divided by 2? It's 5. Need I say more? That days since I moved to Scottsdale. There, I said it.
So then we go to Rishi's apartment. He's making himself a protein shake, and Monica's knocking what he can't hear over the sound of the blender making his protein shake. And if you ever needed something to represent your relationship, that's it.
Yep, I would say so.
I can't hear you over the sounds of my protein shake. Okay.
Yeah. So he lets her in and then she sniffs the blender and she goes, there's no sardines in there, are there?
Like, and he's like, no, babe, drink it. And he's like, got her elbow in her face. I'm like, this fucking guy is not the guy. I don't know. I'm just screaming at my TV. Wrong, Monica.
She goes, what the hell is that? It smells like baby powder. He goes, it's plant-based. She's like, ew. So,
like all baby powder.
It's plant-based. Yeah. So they go out onto the balcony and she's like, I'm looking for alligators. Can we see alligators? One time I thought I saw a dog in the pool. So I ran down and it was just a brown duck. I was like, well, I think that not only does Monica have to run from Rishi, I think Rishi could also run from Monica too after that brown duck story.
Yeah. So the producer asked her, like, are you going to move in? Why haven't you moved in? She's like, I'm told my whole life, get a ring first. I mean, surely it's coming. I mean, yeah, there was an elbow in my face. Yeah, he didn't laugh when I thought the duck was a dog. But, you know, I'm sure it's going to work out. It's going to be great.
I told him, you know, we can, if you want, we can take it slowly. Like, we could adopt a dog, speaking of which. And I brought him to a pet store. It turns out it was a supermarket. All those dogs, just paper bags. Brown paper bags. It was so confusing.
And she's saying, you know, I've worked my whole life to get the approval of my parents, and I don't want to be disrespectful to my parents. I mean, tradition. Your parents are divorced. I mean, there's no middle finger to tradition than that. So just say that anytime they give you pressure. Just say you're divorced. So
literally.
I'm moving in with my boyfriend, okay?
Yeah. And especially after she tells the story about her grandmother, it's like, why are you beholden right now? Tradition. This is obviously a family that has changed their relationship with tradition. So now we go over to Amrit and Nicholas are doing in the confessional, trying to do like a gay fan thing. And then basically Amrit's like in the shower. He's like, yeah, my boss, Harley, he wants to meet for lunch. So for dinner. So we're going to meet for dinner because I've been working really hard. So his whole thing is that he's been working at this law firm for so long. And he like he needs to work even harder because Nicholas gave up his job and now he's showering.
Yeah. So then we go to the Viswanis and Monica is doing exercises with her dad and her grandma. And these are the best exercises I've ever seen. So the grandma's like, okay, now we do the laugh. And they all throw their, they're sitting down in chairs and they throw their arms in the air and go, ha 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 ha. And Monica's like, laughing yoga is a thing apparently now. So do it again.
You will feel very happy. She's like, you are so, by the way, this grandma is so great. She's so nice. She's so lovely. And she's like, you are so sweet. Soon you'll get married and I'll be happy. And you promise every morning you'll do meditation for 5 minutes in the morning. And Monica's like, yes, I can do that.
So she tells us the story. She's like, Dottie is my dad's mom. And she's like the most alpha female I've ever met. I mean, talk about going against conventions. She is a badass, a League of Dottie Zone. That's what we call it, because she didn't want to get married and she wanted to be a yogi. But then her dad said, absolutely not. You have five sisters behind you, and they won't be able to get married if you don't, because everyone's going to wonder if something's wrong with the brand. So she got married.
I was like, I didn't think that's where the story was going.
I didn't think so either. I mean, given that Monica is so all about tradition, and like her grandmother is like, just barely did the traditional thing, you know? So Monica basically asked the grandma, like, how would you feel? Well, she asked Raj, her dad. She's like, how would you feel about, like, theoretically, if Rishi and I moved in together? And the dad's like, well, I prefer if you guys were. What?
In my guest room? No, dad, to his apartment. Oh, so I would move to his apartment? No, dad, I would move. With me? No, dad. I would be there, right? So would I be in the apartment next door with an adjoining door? No doubt.
How are we going to have our kikis? I don't understand this.
So are you still going to be using my Netflix, but just at his apartment with me there on the couch? No doubt.
We're moving into a 3-bedroom, huh? No. So,
but then he asks his mom, and she's like, if it makes you happy, why the fuck not? Go ahead. You don't have five sisters behind you ruining your life, by the way. It's like, is that Lopa yoga?
Lopa.
Lopa. That's the down dog, the Lopa.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, Raj is like, mom, what do you think? She's like, I don't care. She's like, if she's comfortable, she can do it. And Raj's like, are you comfortable with that? And grandma's like, I'm comfortable with it. And then Raj's like, but what if they like leave together? Like, what if they live together and then they break up? And she's like, it's okay. It's fine. It's okay.
But what if he breaks up with me, mom? Oh my God. So then we go over to Vishal, and they're on their way to date night with Anisha. Dun, dun, dun. And he's like, well, I want to hear what she has to say. And the producer says, are you waiting for an apology? And he's like, I mean, that would be the decent thing to do. I mean, she needs to say, like, I've been a fuck up lately. You know, acknowledge you're wrong, and I'll be happy with that. She came to your fucking wedding. You are such a baby. I can't. Put your wedding ring on and get married.
Finally. How about you come at your wedding? Think about that.
How about you? Yeah. Yeah. She actually did come. You didn't.
Yeah. So, then meanwhile, simultaneously, Omri meets with his boss, Harley, who's wearing a beautiful Josh Groban wig. I was like, well curated, sir.
Weird getup, Harley.
Okay. He's like, I really enjoyed Josh Groban's look circa 2008, so I'm gonna source that wig.
Really odd, really. And please make sure that the curl of the wig goes into my earlobes.
I know, okay?
Really. The wig earlobe curl is really important to me.
He's like, I couldn't decide between the 2008 Josh Groban or the 1983 Ali Sheedy. So, yeah. So anyway, they sit down and Harley's like, wow, it's only about 80 degrees colder in Chicago. Hey, okay. I'm going to sit over this giant light bulb in the center of this table. And hey, waiter, I'm going to get the wedge salad and hey, Amrit, why don't you get spicy peppers or whatever? Yeah, get spicy peppers. Amrit's like, okay, I think I'm going to get calamari instead of the spicy peppers. Hey, hey, it's your world. It's your world. You do what you want.
We're only living in it. Listen, I'm a wedge salad visiting spicy pepper worlds. Okay. So I just wanted to tell you, you know, I have loyalty to you because, you know, I mean, you've been with us 10 years and you know what happens. You're at that age. I'm getting married, sir. I'm getting married. Now, I was going to say make partner. Are you sure? Because this is family karma. This needs to be about getting married. All right. You're at that stage where if you don't get married, you're going to die by cattle prod to the head. Okay.
He goes, wow. And my
partner. Also your partner. You're also a partner.
Amrit's like, wow. Oh, cool. Well, thank you for supporting me. I'm really happy right now. Am I giving an Oscar speech? I'm like, wow, this is giving us a lot to look forward to with this wedding right now. Wow, the overflow of emotion is just astounding.
And Harley goes, yeah, you got so much charisma. The world is your oyster, kid. The world is your oyster.
So now back at the other restaurant, yes. So Vishal and Richa have arrived, and Richa sees Anisha at the table, and she's like, long time no see, am I right? I'm like, ugh. Lopa, I wish Lopa walked in and was like, you're no daughter of mine, you make better joke, Lopa!
So Anisha's like, well, I wanted to treat you to dinner because I wanted to congratulate you, and I really thought your wedding was beautiful, so... And Vishal's like, ah, he's all mad. And Richa says, well, we wanted a big fat Indian wedding. She goes, you did it. You did it. It was amazing. You know what? I have to say it. You're being weird. I mean, why are you being weird? It's been 6 days since I've moved to Scottsdale now. So, I mean, can I get something more? I wasn't expecting this kind of resentment till day 9 in Scottsdale. But, I mean, here we are.
Should we just like get right into it? So Vishal's like, well, just like the whole wedding process, like Rich and me, we feel the same way. I felt like we were asking you, like, hey, did you book your room? Did you book your room? And I felt like we had to chase you down and like you weren't communicating with us. Like you didn't give us any reason. It's like, why are you concerned about her booking your room? Okay,
yeah,
it's
you
fine.
Shouldn't be nagging She's everybody about their rooms being booked, okay? She wasn't in the wedding. She didn't have to like try on a dress. So then Richa says, well, I mean, I'm not pissed now. Hey, wait a minute. We both feel this way. No, shut up, Vishal. Okay. Like, Vishal acts like everyone has to be afraid of Richa as he is. It's like, right. It's not the case. You don't get to use Richa as a weapon. Like, we both feel this way. But anyway, Richa's like, well, I'm not pissed now. So you're welcome. But I'm glad that at the wedding we didn't speak because I really would have been mad at the wedding.
Yeah. And Anisha's like,
did you not enjoy your fucking $1,900 cappuccino machine or whatever bullshit dream shit you had on your list that I had to fork out hard-earned money for, ma'am?
Seriously. So Anisha's like, well, I had a lot going on and I didn't know what was happening. And Vishal's like, but as like a friend, like you should have been able to tell us. And she's like, no, but my life was like a whirlwind. Like I was moving because I moved 6 days ago and I didn't want to pile on because it was like your wedding and I like wanted you to like not worry about me. And like, I actually moved like 4 days before your wedding. So like, I'll just let that hang there in the air because I think the innate power of me saying that is probably enough to just like squash this whole beef.
Well, I thought her argument of, listen, I was having a lot of drama and I didn't want to bug you with my drama because it's your wedding. Good argument. I think that's great. Yeah. But then Vishal, of course, is like, okay, but then why did you decide to move like a week before my wedding then? And she's like, are you seriously asking me why I decided to move in with my boyfriend 6 days ago now? 6 days? Because that's when we signed the lease. And I'm sorry, but you know what? I did put my relationship before your wedding, okay? So if you didn't want me there, you should have just told me not to come, Vishal. You should have just told me. It's like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel a little bit like she's kind of clinging to that. Like, realistically, if like your best friend's getting married and it's like the same weekend that you're moving in somewhere and you got a partner, you can just say to your partner, you move in first, I'll come after the wedding. Let's be honest. But either way, I think that she still showed up at the wedding. She still went. You know what? At the end of the day, you know what? So what? Who cares? She went to the wedding. Okay. So Vishal's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, but you put our wedding on the back burner the whole time and we gave you a +1. and you didn't even bring your boyfriend. She's like,
oh, well, here's your fucking gold award arriving by FedEx for giving me a plus one to a wedding, which I should have naturally had anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, well, I'm dating someone who's like very private. Yeah. You ever heard of like the mayor of Scottsdale? There, I said it. So I've been alone for like many years, and like I don't want to start opening up a world with someone and then it like doesn't work because like I've had trauma, and like so maybe I don't want to go through that again. It feels like they're kind of both coming up with excuses for why they're mad at each other. I think they just probably, I think if you get down to it, he doesn't feel supported by her, and she feels like he's leaving her. So it's just like an old-fashioned friend fight.
Maybe. And it's also like the, it's my wedding. The least you could have done was given me that calling me every day and seeing how I was doing energy.
Yeah.
But she's probably thinking, the past decade has been about your fucking wedding and talking about it, when it's going to be, and this and that. And then I have a relationship, and you don't even give a shit about my relationship because it's still all about your wedding.
You know? And then they, by the way, they order food. Anisha ordered a California roll without the crab. Isn't that just a cucumber roll or an avocado roll? Was I the only one bothered that she just didn't say avocado or cucumber roll?
Maybe they didn't have that on the menu, you know? I mean, maybe. Sometimes people don't really give you that option. They just assume we're all walking around with cow prods, ready to shock something in a brain and eat it.
So then they go back to small talk. So Rich is like, how's Arizona? And she goes, I'm very happy. She goes, and she's like, well, you know, we want you to have all the happiness in the world. She goes, well, I'm very happy. She goes, well, tell him, tell Vishal that, because like you could have just said, I stubbed my toe and it hurts, which is why I don't know my room. Just give him anything. He just needs the dumbest excuses. Honestly, he's a very simple man. He's a simple, stupid man that I've chosen to spend the rest of my life with. You just honestly knock over a glass, do it right now, and then just say this happened 2 weeks ago and he'll be okay.
But she did give you something. She said she's stressed out because she's moving to Scottsdale and she doesn't know when she's going to be working. She did give you something. It's not like she just didn't call you. So then Vishal's like, well, I just feel like we were chasing and chasing and chasing. Well, welcome to Rich's life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So then Anisha says, well, okay, maybe I have a lot going on and maybe I was being selfish and I'm not going to apologize for that. So there. So yeah. Of course she's the most stubborn person in the world, right? So Rich is like, okay, I'm gonna go with nothing's gonna be resolved, we're getting dessert, right? Because I'm still not paying this bill. Okay.
Yeah. And basically Anisha's like, I don't care, I'm paying to get yelled at today. So then Anisha says, you know, I'm not here a lot. So when I'm here, I want to spend it with the people I care about. Which, by the way, now I hate this thing. I hate this thing of the person who gives up everything for the guy. And then when they deign to spend some time with you, now you got to drop everything because they're going to throw the scarcity thing at you, like the scarcity of my presence. It's like, no, like you could be here more if you chose. You are the one who chose to leave and I've got to drop everything for you now.
She's like, you made round one of my dinner invites on this trip. So he's like, well, you know, I just really, you're not going to tell me anything? Like, seriously, you're not going to tell me anything? Give me something. I really wanted you at the wedding. She's like, I was at the wedding, dude. So then the waiter comes by and he's like, no dessert, just ice water. And Richard goes, oh, no, I want bread pudding. Sorry if it's awkward and you guys want this to end, but I'm not paying this bill and I'm getting dessert.
Yeah. So then Anisha trots out, you know, she's like, you know, this. So like, I understand your feelings and I think I would have felt a similar way, honestly. But like, I'm trying to figure out how to handle being in a relationship, you know, and doing a move, which I did 6 days ago, because I'm so used to being by myself and I don't want to cry right now, which is why I'm not close to crying at all. But like, it felt really shitty all the time to feel alone in the group because you guys have each other at the end of the day. And like, now I have someone, so I'm making it my priority. I love pizza now. There, I said it. My mom was right. I love pizza.
And Vishal's like, well, I said how I feel and you said how you feel. So I guess that's all, you know, he's doing that thing where he's like looking around the room the whole time, like, I said what you, like little flies around his head. Like, I said what I said, and you said what you said. And now we said what we said. So I guess that's it. And Rich is like, can I have some more chocolate sauce for this bread pudding?
I was surprised they didn't do the old standard of sweep it under the rug thing of, hey, we're family. We're like family, and families fight, you know? So
I already had that once enough on Sunday with Mia. This is my family's restaurant. Hi, family. My family made this bread pudding.
But now that Shaz isn't on the air anymore, we don't have our weekly, listen, we are family. And even though Mike is a terrible person, and even though I have just said the worst things about MJ, families fight. And the one thing I don't want to do is fight in front of baby Shams.
So next we go to Nicholas asleep on the couch at 11:30 a.m. So I feel like that's what happens when you're like, I'm giving up my career and I'm going to be a homemaker.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I would do.
It was like Nicholas lying on the sofa, but then Amrit just lying on the path or like in the back, like
by the garbage air conditioner machine thing.
Yeah. And so they're like gossiping and they're like talking to each other on the phone because they're too tired to actually speak to each other because they went out. They partied so hard last night. Like they partied. They really partied hard because he got, you know, partner. And now they're hungover and they did Jaeger bombs. But when they were partying, they met up with Nirja, who's dating Rishi's younger brother, Sunny. And Nirja doesn't want to have her face on the show, so her face is blurred out. And she was saying so
funny. I cracked up that she wouldn't even have her face on the show. And Amrit's like, she said things that would not have been said if she and Monica were close friends. She is not close with Monica. Dun, dun, dun. No one, Monica can't seem to really get along with a lot of the women on this show.
No, right. Yeah, that is an issue.
Yeah, that's so, an ish. So Vishal's like, yeah, well, Amrit texted me saying that he's with Nirja and it's a lot. And this is going to break people we care about. Like, actually break. Dun, dun, dun.
And it's going to be something like Monica returned to dress. It's a dress for less. Ross dress for less.
It's going
to
be something like Monica is actually older than she said, and she's like 6 months over being 30, and it's time to put her down for not being married.
Monica brought 17 items to self-checkout, and the sign says bring about 15, and I feel like 17 is more than about 15.
Also, Rishi cheated on her. So that's that for that. That's that for that. Fun show.
Lovely show. Fun to check in on it. Thanks everyone for being here. Have a great evening and we'll be back.
Have a great holiday weekend. We will actually be back next week after the holidays to do some fun regular recaps. Until then, go check out all the other shows. Check out our bonuses, our videos, some crappins on demand. And we'll talk to you Monday night for Take a Seat, 7 p.m. Pacific time on Spotify Live. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, She Has No Last Namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors. Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Aaron Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna. Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby. It's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch or Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, 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 where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.